This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal.
This has been, and it still is, really a terrible week for terrorism. The airport in Istanbul on Wednesday, and then today, a hostage situation in Dhaka, Bangladesh. On that one, ISIS is reported to have claimed responsibility. And how that group spreads its message and recruits new converts is the subject of Nick Bilton's latest column. He's a special correspondent for Vanity Fair, a longtime tech reporter. The column is titled, How ISIS Became the World's Deadliest Tech Startup. Nick, it's good to have you back on.
Thanks for having me.
Was it inevitable that, not necessarily ISIS, but somebody with malicious intent would master all of this tech?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you kind of look at the history of ISIS, it was, you know, its predecessor was Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
The predecessor of that was Hezbollah. And you can see that each iteration of these terror organizations have become a little bit more technologically adept. And I think what you're seeing with ISIS is that they are trying to essentially inflict harm psychologically. You know, they're trying to burrow into people's minds and make them think really bad thoughts and walk into somewhere with an AR-15 and kill everyone.
And they are doing it with stunning ease.
It's remarkable how well they're doing it. There was actually a study that just came out pointing out how not only are they able to infiltrate people's minds in America and so on, but they're also getting funding through social media. They are getting new recruits all over the world. And the big question is, how many people are behind all of this?
Well, you point this out. We don't know if it's one terrorist running 500 Twitter accounts or 500 people running one apiece.
It's fascinating. I was doing a lot of reporting for this column trying to figure out, well, okay, how many people are there in ISIS?
Right.
And I literally found, you know, a dozen different studies done by the government, done by think tanks and so on. And some of them say, oh, there's only 9,000 members of ISIS. And some of them say there are 200,000 members. And we have no idea, just literally no concept of how many there are.
The thing that came out of San Bernardino, which as amazing as this is to say, is not the most recent mass shooting in this country, was a clear revelation of the disconnect between Silicon Valley, the tech industry, and the government. That whole bit about unlocking the iPhones. They're still not any closer to working together.
There's a constant battle at play here between the tech companies, Silicon Valley specifically, and the government. And the thing that's fascinating to me is there was all this research done and polls done and so on around after San Bernardino asking, should Apple unlock the FBI phone? And most people said yes. But yet, Tim Cook stood there and said, no, we're not going to do it.
There's a great anecdote in this piece about Twitter and a company called Dataminer and the director of Central Intelligence, John Brennan.
Yeah. So the day after the Orlando shooting, the director of the CIA was being asked on the Hill about, you know, different things related to terrorism. And one of the things that came up was Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, who had recently cut off the CIA from accessing the feeds from Twitter, which apparently are an incredible wealth of knowledge for the government to be able to see what people are talking about related to terrorism, ISIS, Israel, so on and so forth.
And this company, Dataminer, just to be clear, is one of the few companies that has access to Twitter's full fire hose, I think is the thing you said, right?
And so then they distribute
it. Instantaneous analysis.
Yeah, so then they distribute it to different governments and so on. Twitter's response was, well, we did it because of optics. We didn't want to be seen as helping the government and so on. But yet the response has been, well, you're still selling information to Russian entities, you know, and there's this massive disconnect with these companies that I think don't have any comprehension, right? I don't think that Twitter has any comprehension of just how powerful the service that they have built is being used to.
No,
aid
come on. Sir, you believe,
I don't
really?
Believe. Yeah. I mean, look, being in Silicon Valley, they're so idealistic so much of the time.
Huh.
For example, I was in the room with the folks that created 3D printers, right? And I remember saying, well, what are you guys going to do with these things? And they were like, oh, people will be able to make iPhone covers and build wall hooks and make forks. What was the first thing people did? 3D printed guns.
Yeah.
And now you can actually go and 3D print an AR-15 if you want.
You talk at the end of this piece about the network effect, how things just change when you plug them in. And what has happened now is that the psyche of terrorism has been plugged in.
Correct. It's truly fascinating. You know, Donald Trump goes out there and say, oh, we've got to ban all Muslims from coming to the country. The only way you're going to stop this is from banning the internet. I mean, and that's impossible. The whole theory of what this has done, it's just mind-boggling. And I don't think anyone has any comprehension of just how far it's going to go.
Nick Bilton is a special correspondent at Vanity Fair. His piece, his most recent piece, is called How ISIS Became the World's Deadliest Tech Startup. Nick, thanks a lot.
Thank you.